Whoop, whoop. Opening whoop, day, LZ. It's supposed to take place in March, but we're going to get it here towards the end of July, July 23rd. Opening day at Dodger Stadium tonight against the Giants. And I guess if the expression has ever been true, it's true today. Better late than never. We're finally going to get some Major League Baseball that counts.
Yeah, I just wish that it had a longer runway of being by themselves. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm excited, absolutely excited for the start of baseball. But if you're asking me to compare my excitement for baseball with the NBA, So even though I'm excited for the start of baseball, because they didn't allow themselves more of a runway, you can't tell me you're not peeking over at LeBron and AD just a little extra too.
No, look, you guys know I'm a baseball guy. That is my sport. That's the sport that I am and the biggest fan of. But I'm not gonna be ridiculous. I'm more interested in what the Lakers are gonna look like for their championship run than I am this goofy baseball season. That being said, this goofy baseball season just got a lot better because of what they did yesterday. They signed Mookie Betts to a 13-year, $392 million deal, the second biggest contract, I should say, in baseball history behind Mike Trout. And you can't say this enough. The Dodgers just inked the second best player in baseball to a long-term deal. They already have the third or fourth or fifth best player in the league in Cody Bellinger under contract for a while because he's still a young player who's just getting started. They already have all-stars more or less at every other position on the field, maybe except for behind home plate. They're going to absolutely have as good of a shot to win a World Series in this goofy season as of any other point through this entire thing. I know we've talked a lot about it. It's a short season. Anything can happen. Short series. Anything can happen. All still true. But the deck is stacked in a way right now that it feels like the vagaries of baseball, the inconsistencies of baseball have been neutralized as much as they possibly can.
Bigger signing, recent signing for L.A. LeBron, Lakers, locking up Mookie. Putting you on the spot, Travis. What
yeah,
do you got?
I'm going to steal what you said yesterday. It's an easy decision when you actually just stop and think about it, because it feels difficult on the surface. Like, ooh, which one of these? It's Mookie. Mookie's 27 years old. LeBron is in his mid 30s. LeBron, when he came to the Lakers, the vast majority of LeBron's prime had already been played. Now, he's still playing at an MVP level, so who knows how much longer he can do it, but history tells us he's not going to be the best player in the league when he's 40 years old. Mookie Betts is 27. He's 27. He's already won a World Series and a batting title and an MVP and all of these other things. He is just entering the prime of his career, and he's got another 6, 7, maybe, 8 years of prime performance left. So I think it's Mookie, and I don't think it's really that close.
I don't know. I ask you the question because I needed time for myself to think about it. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers were World Series favorites before they got Mookie. The Lakers were a laughingstock with LeVar Ball eating up most of the airtime before LeBron showed up. Now the Lakers, barely 2 years with LeBron, are the number one seed in the West, and they're a favorite to win a championship, whereas the Dodgers, while they obviously were a favorite to win a championship with Mookie, they were in that conversation without him too. So I don't know. I'm torn as to which of the two, will have the biggest impact in the city. Bringing back the greatness of the Lakers or sustaining the Dodgers?
Well, it's a tougher comparison because a basketball player can have a far greater impact immediately than a baseball player. In basketball, if you have LeBron James, who's the worst team in the league, and Minnesota or something like that. I mean, just picking a bat. If you put LeBron on Minnesota, they're going to go to the playoffs and probably make a run. That's just that's what history tells us. If you have LeBron, you're going to make a run. That's not true in baseball. And that's why I think that you need to be set up for a long time to cash in on greatness. And that's what Mookie is. Mookie gives them a 13 years, including the year that we have right now, a 13-year runway where of those 13 years, you got to figure what? 8 or 9 of them are going to be really highly productive.
Yeah. And he's very marketable. He's smart. He's thoughtful. He's a good guy. We had Jorge Castillo come on, and you know, he talked about spending time with him and just a good quality person, which I know doesn't get a lot of press and sometimes can be translated as boring. But if you're going to hitch your wagon to a face for more than a decade, you have to at least make sure that he's not an idiot and who may end up having a whole bunch of press releases and press conferences apologizing for stuff that he's tweeted or he's done. So it's also nice to know that not only are we hitched to a great player, but by all accounts, we're hitched to a really good guy.
You know what's funny?
Proud of.
That as you were saying that, you're right, and Mookie is that, and LeBron is that. And you know what's crazy about the whole thing? Both of these teams, both the Lakers and the Dodgers, have another guy on the team that is exactly that, that, oh, by the way, in the not-too-distant future, might be the better player. that Anthony Davis is we're not too far away from him being the best player on this team. And that is no disrespect to LeBron. That's just a matter of Anthony Davis is a lot younger than LeBron, and he's that good. That's all that means. Same thing with Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger, other than maybe not running out a triple at one, I mean, yeah, that's baseball, man. Who cares? There hasn't been any smoke about Cody Bellinger other than, hey, he's 25 and he's already got an MVP. Hey, he's 25. Played in the World Series twice. Hey, he's 25 and can play center field, right field, and first base all at a high level. And he's already got an MVP. And oh, by the way, we just gave that guy over there nearly $400 million. He might not be the best player on this team in 3 or 4 or 5 years. The Dodgers and the Lakers both have and I don't even like to say it like this, a player B who could very quickly be player A, and the player A they have right now is the best going in both of their respective sports. That's how stacked both of these teams are.
They're so stacked that when we look over at the other sports in the city and we look at a team like the Rams and we have a QB who's been a multi-time Pro Bowler who's already led his team to a Super Bowl, we forget about him. Mm-hmm. And we're still trying to figure out if he's good enough to be in this conversation. Whereas there's probably about 25 to 30 franchises in the NFL who would love to have a QB that young who's locked up, who's already led his team to a Super Bowl appearance. If I wasn't so selfish, Travis, I would feel bad about hoarding so much talent in one city. But I'm selfish, so I don't feel bad about it.
Okay, you know who we haven't even said? What about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? I mean, you've got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George going too. Kawhi is not too far down the list of best player in the league. Paul George is the third best second player in his own city, and Paul George is probably the top 10 guy. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it like that. That Paul George is, relative to his sport, is not Anthony Davis, and he's not Cody Bellinger. He's an all-star. He's a guy that, you know, if you turned around one day and Paul George won an MVP, I don't think anybody would be stunned by it. It could happen. But he's the third best B player in his own city. That's how that's the embarrassment of riches. He's the third best second player in his own city. I can't say it enough.
That is crazy. We're a long way from when Timothy Mozgov was the big free agent signing for the Lakers and the city was trying to figure out what the hell it was doing. We're a long way from that. We're entering what could very well be another golden age in sports in the city. And I'm so excited because in addition to championships that are going to be won by franchises that we love, remember, we're still hosting the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And like world-class events. We're on the cusp of an amazing sports run, both domestically and internationally in Los Angeles. And I'm so pumped. And having the signing of freaking Mookie Betts just highlights that. We got Jared Goff locked up. We got Mookie locked up. We got Mike Trout locked up. You know, we'll see what the Clippers do because I think Kawhi as well as Paul George have flexible contracts. But we do know that LeBron's going to be here for the foreseeable future. And who knows what the Sparks are going to do.
Well, yeah, you do, I guess. But I'll take your word for it. but you said something right there. You said something right there that neither of us had mentioned it until you just did. Mike Trout plays here. Okay. Mike Trout, who, hold on a second. Mike Trout is Willie Mays. Okay. He's that good. He is going to be, if he isn't already, one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. And it took us 10 minutes to say his name. when we're listing the best players in this city, it took us 10 minutes to get to Mike Trout. You mentioned it earlier that he made the announcement yesterday that he's going to play this season. He and his wife are expecting their first baby really any minute now. And so he doesn't know how that's going to affect, you know, with COVID and everything else and the situation that we're all in. He was kind of on the fence about whether or not he wanted to come play, and understandably so. He makes the announcement yesterday that he is going to play. But it speaks to one, I guess, his Q rating. But it just, more importantly, it speaks to what we're talking about here in just this era of just unbelievable, and not just good players and good teams, but you're talking about the biggest names in the sport, in the NBA, in the NFL, in the Major League Baseball. And it's more than one team in a lot of these cases. It's just this tidal wave of not good players and good teams, but legends. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, as I said, if I wasn't so selfish, I would feel bad for being so greedy. But it really is a unique moment. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, obviously the city during the 80s, but then also just other cities. When you think about Boston, with the great run with the Celtics that led to, like, the Bruins, which led to, like, the Bo Sox finally eventually breaking through, and then the Celtics coming through with the championship and making the final appearances. When you're in a city that has a good run like that, it makes a lot of things better. You know, we rely upon sports as a distraction, and that distraction is a lot more efficient if they're good. Like growing up in Detroit, I had distractions, but who wanted to be distracted by the Lions? That was more pain.
That's a bad deal.
You know what? My distraction was just going out and, like, shoving some dirt, because I couldn't just sit there and watch the Pistons because they were bad too.
So you want to watch those? You want to watch the Lions go out front and kick rocks? I'll take the rocks.
Yeah, give me the rocks. So those of you who don't know what it's like to be in a city where your distraction sucks, let me tell you, you don't want that life. So we're going to have some good sports, some good distractions for a long time. The signing of Mookie Betts is just a nice little addition to what is hopefully going to be a fantastic era in the city.
One of those distractions, we are just a week away from that as well, the relaunch of the Laker and the NBA season. Mike Trudell will join us next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, they are playing exhibition games in Orlando. We're just a week away from the Lakers and the Clippers in their first of eight, what I guess will be the end of the regular season games. Joining us right now, Mike Trudell joining us on the morning show. Good morning, Mike. How things?
What's up, fellas? Nice to hear your voice.
What's up, Trudell? Don't forget, I still owe you a dinner. It's just right now, I'm not willing to risk it all to pay it off for you. So just put it in a pause.
Yeah. You got COVID-19 definitely gives you an extension. So you're good.
Okay. All right. Good. Where are you? Yeah. Are you in the bubble? You're outside the bubble? What's going on?
No, I'm back here in LA. I'll be doing the game in the studio tonight. So that'll be unique. It'll be your first time doing it that way. I'm here with the family, just hanging out in LA.
Mike, what are you expecting to see tonight? Like you mentioned that we saw some exhibitions last night, and it's kind of unusual just seeing the building empty and whatnot. But when it comes to the Lakers and trying to acclimate without Avery Bradley, without Rajon Rondo, trying to get J.R. Smith, Deion Waiters back into it, what are you going to be looking at tonight?
Yeah, I think that so what I'm kind of expecting is what you would see from a first preseason game, in a sense where you'll get the starters some minutes together to start both halves. But I really think that Frank Vogel is going to want to go deep into his rotation and see some of the guys that you just mentioned there, Travis, whether it's a Waiters or J.R. Smith, or, you know, get some more minutes for Markieff Morris. Hey, let's see what Talen Horton-Tucker can do. Maybe even a little bit of run for the two-way guys, Devontae Kaycott, Kostas Antetokounmpo. So, like, I think that it's more right now about getting these guys in game shape and game condition and not worrying so much about, what your playoff rotation is going to look like and getting certain guys to play together a lot. So I expect it to look basically like a practice tonight.
You mentioned Talen Horton-Tucker, who I know Coach Vogel has talked a lot about in terms of getting his body right and working on his shot. Obviously, we heard a lot of people talking about, you know, Rajon Rondo hitting the weights. Who have you been impressed with in terms of how they come back out of this quarantine and this time away from being in front of a camera?
You know, it's a good question. And just to touch on Talen Horton Tucker for a second, he's still only 19 years old, right? Like, he turns 20 in November. So he's got a lot of upside. That's why the Lakers took him at that spot. He's got a lot of tools. He's got a real unique body where he's, you know, as you mentioned, LZ, if he can get himself in that peak shape, which he's progressing towards, he's super long. He's got some handle. He's stout. He's a little bit like PJ Tucker, stout-wise defensively. So I think they really like his upside. But you know, this coming months, these coming months in Orlando, I'm not sure how much you'll see him just because they remain deep at the guard position, even with Bradley and Rondo being out. But to answer your question directly, Kuzma has been the guy that I've been hearing the most about. Yeah, I mean, look, we know what LeBron and AD are going to do, right? They're always going to be the best two in the gym. But Kuz, I think, is the guy that represents the Lakers' upside the most. He's the guy that has been sharpest. Recall that he did not have a preseason because he got injured with Team USA, and then he had his minutes cut because he was behind LeBron and AD. So I think that there's a lot more that Kuz can do, and it sounds like he's been playing really well so far in Orlando.
Mike Trudell joining us here on the morning show. Mike, is there a, I don't want to say a chance because there's always a chance, but is there a good chance that we're looking at an NBA Finals that does not include two of either both LA teams or Milwaukee? Is there another team outside of those three that's got a good chance to get in?
Yeah, I'm not as bullish on the Bucks as everybody else. I would be really surprised if the Lakers or the Clippers don't come out of the West. I just think that they're clearly better than the rest of the pack. But, you know, I still think that Milwaukee has to prove that they can win some of those tight contested games when Giannis is going to be required to hit some jump shots, or Eric Bledsoe is going to have to play a lot better, or Middleton's going to have to play a lot better. You know, they still haven't been to the Eastern Conference Finals in that context. And so, like, it's just a – or out of it, I should say. So, I don't know whether it's Boston, whether it's the 76ers. If they get things together, they still, to me, have the talent. You know, Toronto is going to be a tough out. There's a chance that Miami could put it together, although I would say that I'd be less bullish on those chances. But, yeah, man, I'm not quite in the, oh, the Bucks dominated the net rating category, so let's automatically throw them into the finals. I think they're going to have to prove some things.
Well, if they're still in the prove me, show me stage, why in the hell are so many people so convinced that Giannis should easily win MVP?
Yeah, so I'm not one of those people. And this is the tricky part of this discussion, LZ, is that when things stopped, when COVID hit, Giannis was about to be out for 2 weeks, and LeBron was just peaking. And so, like, that to me would have been the difference, and he definitely would have been the MVP at that point because he was cresting. He was everything had been building in LeBron's season towards those times. And now the other argument, even if you just take it as it is, I would say that the numbers are pretty similar in terms of the raw production. Now, Giannis does have the advantage on a lot of the advanced stats, like the net rating, the defensive rating. But part of that, to me, is that the Bucks are in the East, and they played so many. Like, so the seventh seed in the East, Brooklyn, is what, like 30-34. The seventh seed in the West, Dallas, is what, I think 40-27. So all of those teams below that, Milwaukee, often beat by 20 or 30. Like, they had so many blowouts that I thought extended the net rating and a lot of those units. And they played their bench early too. Giannis only averages like 30, 31 minutes a game. So I thought that it was much closer. And the other thing to consider is that the reason the Lakers are the Lakers in part is because LeBron James brought a lot of the guys on the team in the first place. And then he's the one that orchestrates things on the offensive side of the floor. And he's the one also, as Frank Vogel has said, that is calling out the shots defensively. So, yeah, I'm definitely taking the implication that you just gave, LZ, and I've heard you say before, is that this shouldn't be just a shoe-in. Oh, it's Giannis, because his net rating is better.
With that in mind, Mike, could you make the same case, and for slightly different reasons, but for Frank Vogel as coach of the year? I mean, you go back to the circumstances that the Lakers were in when he got hired. I mean, when he was introduced in his press conference, it was right when Magic hit the button on TV and the whole organization was kind of in disarray. Fast forward to China, fast forward to Kobe's passing in January, to them just absolutely not missing a beat at anywhere along the way. Does that make the case for Frank Vogel being the coach of the year?
Yeah, I think he's got a case for sure. And just like I think in that context, you also can talk about Rob Pelinka and what people were, the way that people were describing things last spring. And look where the Lakers are now, right, with a 5.5-game lead. As for Vogel, I mean, the trick that he's going to have is there are a lot of coaches that are up there in terms of candidacy. People are going to point to Nick Nurse. You got Taylor Jenkins. Like, you've got a lot of coaches, I think, that whose team, like, the way they do this award, Travis, as you know, is usually, okay, which team has more wins than we thought, like, compared to the other coaches? And you could also, in that context, you could put Billy Donovan and OKC in there. I don't think a lot of us had them in the postseason, and although I would personally give Chris Paul a little bit more credit than I would give Billy Donovan. But, yeah, Vogel's got a good case, a strong case. I think that he'll get a lot of votes. If I had to bet, though, I think that Nurse will probably end up winning in Toronto.
What about Caruso? Does he win Brother of the Year for skipping the Sister Freddie, or is that a demerit?
Yeah, man, that was actually it's kind of a tough thing to hear about, right? Like, my little sister got married last fall, and part of their consideration was, like, they knew they were going to have it in a time where I could go. Now, I'm not quite as crucial to the Lakers as Alex Caruso, so I would have missed the game. I barely missed the game since 2008, but, like, I get it that they had scheduled it for August in part so that he could go. And then I think the complicating factor, though, of course, wasn't just that, like, if it were a game he had to miss, I think that would have been one thing. But it was just the risk of transmitting COVID back to the rest of the bubble and his teammates, I think, that ultimately was what, you know, he didn't want to risk. And I respect that, because it's a selfless decision in terms of the league, in terms of his teammates. And it's one that certainly is sad for him with the family. But, look, bottom line is, man, he's got to get some kind of award. Maybe, I guess, look, the two-man net rating award with him and LeBron, right, plus 20.8. when the two of them play, you
know,
he'll take that one.
Mike, with that in mind, with Caruso in mind, and we know we were talking a lot about Dwight when he was deciding whether or not he was going to rejoin the team, it's LeBron, it's AD, and then it's who, as far as most important that they play well if they're going to win a championship. Who's that third guy?
So I think the guy, and I'll say his name just because I don't think it's been said enough this year, and that's Danny Green. And, you know, part of that is because I think Frank Vogel has been a little bit careful not to stretch Green's minutes coming off his finals run with the Raptors last year. And, you know, since they have other options there, whether it's KCP, who's played really well this season, and he'll step in, of course, for Bradley, whether it's Caruso, whether it's Kuzma in spots, especially when AD or LeBron was taking a night. But I think Danny, his two-way ability to me is still not discussed enough. Like, it's not that much of a coincidence that he's been on so many deep playoff runs. He is the prototypical 3-and-D guy. I think we know now in 2020 how much more important the 3-and-D stuff is than we did even 5-10 years ago. So I would keep an eye out for Danny Green and just kind of remember that he's able to guard multiple positions. He's tough. He's resilient. And that three-point shooting, you know, he can win you a game just by hitting the 6-7 threes. And even when he's not hitting, the defense is going to have to rotate out and give him the gravity. So I'll shout out Danny Green in that context, Jeffs.
Just real quick, I don't know if you know or not, but Taylor Swift announced that she's dropping an album.
No, here we go again.
Are you excited that Taylor Swift is dropping a surprise album at midnight? And will you get up at midnight, because I'm assuming you're going to be asleep until then, to listen to it?
Okay, hold on. She's dropping what? She's dropping an album coming up?
She's dropping, I don't know, is Taylor Swift able to drop albums, or does she release them? I think she's releasing. She's not dropping an album. She's releasing it. Surprise album at midnight.
She's releasing. I mean, I think that it's good for her, because wasn't she supposed to open the new stadium?
She was supposed to open a new stadium. That's correct.
You know, so like that was an L for her and just for everybody in general. So I feel like that's good that she's able to drop the album. Like, I liked the last album. I thought it was pretty good. My twins like it. My wife certainly liked it. So yeah, I'm a Taylor Swift supporter.
Oh, I wasn't expecting an answer out of you. I'm putting you in a different category now, Mike.
No, man, look, I like most things but country. Okay, country's the play. And I guess she's a little country, but it feels like it's more poppy to me.
Yeah, I'm definitely putting you on the no access to my Bluetooth grouping. You're going over here now where you're not allowed to put your phone into the Bluetooth and decide the music we listen to in the car.
Yeah, I'll live with it.
I think you'll be okay, Mike. I think you'll be all right. All right, we'll look forward to seeing you tonight, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, guys. All right, say what's up to Rob. See you later.
You got it. All right. No blue. You're on the no Bluetooth list. You got a lot of lists, LZ. You've got a lot of lists of what people are and are not allowed to do. We have breaking Mike Tyson news. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Well, guys, we've been talking about it. We've been debating it. But now it looks like it's finally here. Breaking news. Mike Tyson. Iron Mike Tyson. 53-year-old Mike Tyson will return back to the ring. And as I had hoped and prayed for, guys, it's not against a soup can. No, it's against Roy Jones Jr., who's 51 years old. That's right.
I don't want to see this.
Between Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. is being talked about. It's solidified, and it's going to happen in 2020. Why, Raj? Why? Why don't you want to see this happening?
I told you, I just want to see a fight at Tomato Can. Can't you just train for a couple weeks and put some boxing gloves on and go out there and get knocked out by Mike Tyson? I don't want to see him fight anybody that might hurt him, man, or that. And Roy Jones, he's been talking about, like, people have been staying close to him. Stop fighting, too. They don't want to see Roy fight. Why they got to fight each other, man? Why?
Listen, I don't know why you are pro soup can, but the soup can is not a compliment. Soup can means you're just going to get beat up. So who wants to just see Mike Tyson beat up a nobody? I'd rather see these two men, these two known champions, these two great boxers. I just want to see where they're at in their early 50s. And that to me is exciting. That to me is fun.
Well, some more details are coming in. It's going to be broadcast on pay-per-view as well as multimedia platforms, and it's going to be...
Wait. I didn't know I had to pay for it. I thought it was going to be TBS or something.
Yeah, man.
Isn't this on C-SPAN? I thought it was going to be on C-SPAN.
And guess what? They're going to have a 10-part docuseries on the Thriller leading up to the bouts. Are you ready for a Last Man Standing type 10-part docuseries, LZ? You just sounded excited a minute ago.
Like a 24/7 type of thing?
It's going to be ten parts.
Come
on, you guys just had all that excitement. Let's ramp it back up now.
Wait, and they're going to be protected? They're going to use protection at this match?
There is a better chance that I would get up at midnight to hear Taylor Swift's new album than watch all 10 parts of this docuseries.
Looks like they're going to use 12-ounce gloves, which are bigger than the regular ones, and they're not necessarily going to try and knock each other out. And I'm sorry, LZ, I'd rather see them fight a tomato can and knock the tomato can out than just sit there and pity pat with each other and do wrestling like WWE type stuff.
Wait, so let me get this straight. They want you to pay to see these two guys basically do an exhibition. Are they wearing helmets and stuff?
Well, I don't know if they're wearing the headgear. I don't know that, but the gloves will be bigger and apparently not coming out for blood. But Tyson's last fought, he hasn't lost since tell me if you know this name, Kevin McBride in 2005, and Roy Jones Jr. last fought. No, not exactly, but Roy Jones Jr. fought in 2018. So it's been 13 years, you know, Jr. has, you know, since Tyson fought and Jr. fought in terms of the difference, the gap in between, but it's only 2 years for Roy Jones and 15 for Tyson, but that's a 13-year gap. Roy Jones Jr. has been more active recently, so if it was a real fight, I mean, who would you give the edge to in a real fight?
In a real fight? Yeah. I'm still going with Mike. Mike looks great, man. He looks like
he's hitting a punching bag.
I understand that, but every picture I've seen of Roy Jones Jr. so far, he looks a little bit bloated with taco meat up top. So that doesn't give me any really kind of faith. Iron Mike is wearing booty shorts. He's hitting bags. He's punching. Iron Mike looks like he's in shape. So I'm going to go with the guy who looks like he's more fit right now as opposed to the guy who looks like he just left a bar.
And I'm watching First Signal. Looks like Mike Tyson has – oh, he's on with Kellerman. All right. So, of course, we do have a request out to get
Why
him
he
on.
Why he looks so scary? He looks scary just on a FaceTime call with Max. It looks like he's willing to beat me up watching him right now.
Definitely menacing, but we'll have to see on that. And I don't know. It's exciting, but I don't know, man. I'd rather see him fight a tomato can. Let me see him beat up a tomato can.
Now, this is going to be good, man. This is going to be good. In fact, I think what boxing should do is create a whole separate, like, retirement league and just put all the names in it. You know?
Like
put
the big three?
The undercards. You know, put them in the undercards. Ice Cube did it with the big three.
That's true.
The big three, and that's a big success.
Yeah, but no one out there getting hurt.
Multiple tournaments.
No one's out there getting hurt.
Some people are getting hurt.
Yeah, but they can pull a hammy.
In the big three, some people are getting hurt. You know, they can get hurt. I don't care about that. What I care about is just check. Oh, Mike's rolling up the window now. I'm so caught up in this. Oh, rolling the window. It's all the way to the top now. Mike's rolling up this window to the top. I don't know why that was fascinating to me. All right. But it just added to the story.
Yes, tell of the tape. You notice one thing they're missing there? Do you notice one stat that they're missing on this tail of the tape? They're showing Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. Do you notice the stat they're missing?
I'm assuming it's money, because why else would they be doing this?
Their weight. They're not showing the weight. The weight. Every tail of the tape has weight, not this one. So that lets you know it's a comeback.
That's because the last tail of the tape that they had is no longer valid. Now, chances are their records didn't change, their height didn't change, but they don't know where they weigh right now. So I'm going to give them a pass on that, man. You try to throw some shade. I'm going to give them a pass. They don't know where they're at right now.
And for the record, most of them remember Roy Jones Jr. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I say Roy Jones Jr. did fight a heavyweight fight. Remember, was that David Luiz Jorge when he won the heavyweight title?
No, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, he did fight as a heavyweight.
We have a date, people. September 12th in L.A. In L.A. September 12th in L.A. Oh, hell yeah. Not only am I going to watch it, I'm going to go. I want to be there. This is exciting. Assuming, of course, you let us in.
Bring your cane. You're walking these old men fight. You'd be ashamed of yourself.
You know, we woke up this morning thinking the biggest news of the day was going to be Mookie's bet signing. And that is big news. But we just got news that's even for me for a really weird, odd reason. September 12th in Los Angeles, Iron Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. here in the city in an 8-round matchup. With me right now is George Sedano to talk about Iron Mike's return to the ring. What's up, George? Are you excited for this news or what?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think that, look,
you didn't start off right. Your voice was too high. That was an enthusiastic. Yeah, I heard your. It was a high note, George. What are you saying, man?
I mean, it's very 2020 that Mike Tyson is going to be fighting again at 50 something years old. So it just feels like it's in line with everything that we're dealing with. And now Roy Jones Jr. Now it's an interesting battle because Roy Jones Jr. is much lighter than Mike Tyson is, even at this stage, I would imagine, of his life. And so there is going to be an interesting dynamic there. I would imagine Roy is still fast or faster than Mike. Mike still probably has more power. So, you know, I doubt it would go the 8 rounds. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm willing to watch it. That's for sure.
Are you willing to pay for it because it's on pay-per-view?
I mean, how much are we talking about?
See, I knew there was something to that. Yeah, when you started off with yeah, I knew you weren't going to open a wallet and pay to see it, but if it was on C-SPAN or PBS, you'd be all in.
Well, but here's the thing, like, it was funny, I was watching on, like, I don't know if it was Stars or TMC or whatever, I was flipping around on my DirecTV the other day and Rocky Balboa came on. And if you remember, Rocky Balboa is the movie where it's the last of the Rocky installments where he fights one more time in his 50s and he ends up fighting Antonio Tarver, whose name in the movie is Mason the Line Dixon, which is just an unbelievable
Sweet
boxer name
Jesus.
For a movie. It's just fantastic. And it's funny because Max is in the movie, you know, with Jim Lampley and Larry Merchant and those guys. Uh-huh. It's like an HBO production. But yeah, so I kind of feel like I love that movie because it puts a nice little bow on the end of the Rocky series, because the one they did with Tommy Morrison was terrible. So it did a better job. So I am a little nostalgic for this kind of stuff, LZ. But there is a price tag, I would imagine. Now, ultimately, I feel like I'll pay for it. But, you know, I mean, if it's going to be like, you know, $70 or $80, it's going to be like, man, for real? I mean, I'll do it, but I would do it reluctantly, as opposed to if it's like 40 or 50 bucks, I'm like, eh, you know, whatever. I'd spend 40 or 50 bucks on anything.
Well, part of the people that are behind this are part of a social media outlet called Triller. Mm-hmm. And Snoop, Lil Wayne, Future, Weekend, Pitbull, they're all part of this.
Was DMX involved too, since they were battling yesterday, him and Snoop, or no?
Is he still alive? Because I thought Snoop killed him.
Oh my God. DMX looked like he was huffing and puffing a lot yesterday, for sure.
he looked like Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah.
trying to make it through. You know, Raj is really keen on Mike coming back, but facing somebody who's a nobody. I'm not really interested in seeing him beat up a soup can. I would much rather see him do what he's doing, which is face somebody that we know, just so we can see if both guys still have anything left of what we remember. Where are you with that? Do you think this is a good comeback opponent?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you another high pitch. Yeah, but I think it's I think it's interesting. I think the fact that it's two old guys, I think it brings back nostalgia. But like, what I would like to see, because originally I thought that I saw Bob Arum mention that, you know, that maybe Tyson Fury would be interested in doing like a 3-round exhibition. And so yeah, that would be something I'd be more intrigued with. But I just feel like the top ranked folk wouldn't want even to take that chance, like, because he could get injured. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Tyson Fury, that is. And he's kind of their meal ticket right now. So I guess I don't blame them. But that would be more in line with something I'd like to see, which is to see where he would stand against a current heavyweight, which honestly, he probably wouldn't last more than a round, Tyson, that is, just because he's 53 or whatever years old. Like, it's just not it's not possible for him to last more than a round or two.
Who would you want to see on the undercard?
I mean, if we're going old school, can I get like Hector Macho Camacho or something on the undercard? You know, somebody very, very flamboyant. You know, like someone like that would be intriguing to me. Like Julio Cesar Chavez versus Hector Macho Camacho. If they want to go at it one more time, you know, both in their like gotta be like either late 50s or early 60s. If someone would license them, I would at least consider watching it.
De La Hoya.
Oscar De La Hoya, but it, you know, it'd be Golden Boy. But I think, you know, is Golden Boy even involved in this? Is Roy Jones Jr. a Golden Boy fighter?
I don't know. I don't know if he's with Golden Boy or not, but I wouldn't mind seeing Oscar back in the ring.
Yeah,
last time I saw him, he didn't look like he couldn't fight anymore.
Well, I mean, Oscar De La Hoya,
these old guys, and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, give me Oscar De La Hoya and Felix Trinidad one more time. Because I feel like Oscar had that fight, and then he kind of let it go running around the ring in the last two or three rounds. So I'd like to see that. More importantly, LZ, what do you make of the Seattle Kraken, the new NHL team?
Like the Clash of the Titans kind of Kraken?
Yeah, that's their new, that's their name, the Kraken.
I can get down with that. Yeah, that works for me. I like the name. It's much better than calling something the Washington football team. What a disaster heading over in D.C.
Yeah. All right, LZ, have a great morning, man.
Thank you, show. This is the Dono Show. It's up next.